Don't mind me, Hannah.
Just got the itch.
Speaking of the itch,
Oh,
I
my.
wanted to see if it really worked.
It
Magic
does.
word. Okay. Speaking of the itch, day 76. What are we reading today, Eric?
Well, no, you can't throw back to me or I'll do more
Why?
nonsense. You have to say the whole thing.
You're that out of control.
Yeah, you can't throw back to me. Because watch, like you threw it back to me now. Now it's mine. And everybody, welcome back. I got the itch. It's me, Eric, with the itch.
You have a different voice. Is it itchy throat?
Yeah,
Is that what it is?
no, it's just my skin itches.
So it makes you
So
sound
yeah, my
weird?
voice is different because I got the itch.
Intermittently different.
Yeah, itchermittently.
I totally dropped the ball on
I
that.
know, I need some itchermittens.
That was good. Intermittently.
Yeah.
It's a new thing. Deuteronomy 29 to 30 and Galatians 3.
Oh, okay. Deuteronomy chapter 29. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites while they were in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant he had made with them at Mount Sinai.
Moses reviews the covenant. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "You have seen with your own eyes everything the Lord did in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to his whole country, all the great tests of strength, the miraculous signs, and the amazing wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you minds that understand, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear. For 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other alcoholic drink, but he provided for you so you would know that he is the Lord your God. When we came here, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it to the tribes of Reuben and Gad and to the half tribe of Manasseh as their grant of land. Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do. All of you, tribal leaders, elders, officers, all the men of Israel, are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God. Your little ones and your wives are with you, as well as the foreigners living among you who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here today to enter into the covenant of the Lord your God. The Lord is making this covenant, including the curses. By entering into the covenant today, he will establish you as his people and confirm that he is your God, just as he promised you and as he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you are not the only ones with whom I am making this covenant with its curses. I am making this covenant both with you who stand here today in the presence of the Lord our God, and also with the future generations who are not standing here today. You remember how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we traveled through the lands of enemy nations as we left. You have seen their detestable practices and their idols made of wood, stone, silver, and gold. I am making this covenant with you so that no one among you, no man, woman, clan, or tribe, will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of other nations, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit. Those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves, thinking, "I am safe, even though I am following the desires of my own stubborn heart." This would lead to utter ruin. The Lord will never pardon such people. Instead, his anger and jealousy will burn against them. All the curses written in this book will come down on them, and the Lord will erase their names from under heaven. The Lord will separate them from all the tribes of Israel to pour out on them all the curses of the covenant recorded in this book of instruction. Then the generations to come, both your own descendants and the foreigners who come from distant lands, will see the devastation of the land and the diseases the Lord inflicts on it. They will exclaim, "The whole land is devastated by sulfur and salt. It is a wasteland with nothing planted and nothing growing, not even a blade of grass. It is like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, and which the Lord destroyed in his intense anger." And all the surrounding nations will ask, "Why has the Lord done this to our land? Why was he so angry?" And the answer will be, "This happened because the people of the land abandoned the covenant that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, made with them and when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Instead, they turned away to serve and worship gods they had not known before, gods that were not from the Lord. That is why the Lord's anger has burned against this land, bringing down on it every curse recorded in this book. In great anger and fury, the Lord uprooted his people from their land and banished them to another land where they still live today. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions."
The call to return to the Lord, Deuteronomy chapter 30. In the future, when you experience all these blessings and curses I have listed for you, and when you are living among the nations to which the Lord your God has exiled you, take to heart all these instructions. If at that time you and your children return to the Lord your God, and if you obey with all your heart and all your soul all the commands I have given you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. Even though you're banished to the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will gather you from there and bring you back again. The Lord your God will return you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will possess that land again. Then he will make you even more prosperous and more numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants, so that you will love him with all your heart and soul, and so you may live. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate and persecute you. Then you will again obey the Lord and keep all his commands that I'm giving you today. The Lord your God will then make you successful in everything you do. He will give you many children and numerous livestock, and he will cause your fields to produce abundant harvests. For the Lord will again delight in being good to you as he was to your ancestors. The Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his voice and keep the commands and decrees written in this book of instruction, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul.
The choice of life or death. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea so far that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away, and if you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself fully to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Okay. Galatians chapter 3. The law and faith in Christ. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all the nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it's clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith.
The law and God's promise. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, and it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child, and notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child, and that of course means Christ. This is what I am trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ.
God's children through faith. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. And that is our reading today. Is our reading that.
Mm-hmm.
Today's reading was that today.
Yep.
Yeah, we read that with a couple questions of mine, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if you know this. How does this help me love God more?
Mm-hmm.
And how does this help me love others more?
Those are good questions.
Yeah. So here's a question for you, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
How does this help you love
God more?
God more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to ask.
Well.
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 I kind of liked, I mean, I always like, and I do like definitely, that God provides.
Mm-hmm.
So like some things that stuck out to me back in Deuteronomy 30 was the command I'm giving to you today is not too difficult. It's not beyond your reach. The message is written on your lips and your heart. And so that is a reminder that we are, you know, we're created in his image.
Mm-hmm.
But we were also created for worship.
Yeah.
We were created to worship. And so our hearts were created to worship.
Mm-hmm.
Like they want to worship. It's our flesh that gets in the way. And so God has equipped us with everything we could need. And then when we couldn't even do that right, even though he's equipped us correctly, he provided again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he made us with all these resources. But when we were like too stupid to figure that out, he's like, okay, well, here's Jesus Christ. And when he goes, here's the Holy Spirit. Like he's always providing something.
Yes.
And so I liked how that kind of tied in from Deuteronomy. Like he provides, like we were made to worship. We still can't do it. It's like impossible. And so the Holy Spirit was then given to us to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so just him being provider.
Yeah. And especially providing us with that purpose and then the means to fulfill that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, a lot of times we conflate worship and obedience. And I think one reason we do that is because in the Old Testament, obedience was like their way of worship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know obedience is a type of worship. I'm not saying
sure.
that it's not. But to make them one-to-one replaceable, you know, I think sometimes we can confuse that if we look too hard at the law. But I love what you're saying, that even when the law was gone, we still have this path to worship through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Like we still have this path toward that one purpose that you just said we were created for.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. It's awesome. And God provides it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah, I loved this part. The Lord, our God, has secrets known to no one. This is at the end of 29.
Mm-hmm.
We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us so that we may obey the terms of all these instructions. When we read that, I was thinking about our small group, our connection group, and how we've talked about, like, we don't know everything about God, but there are some things he has definitely made sure we know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not culpable for knowing everything about God. We're not responsible for that. We don't need to know everything about God. That's not his standard. But what he has told us is worth knowing. You know, that's mm-hmm. what that passage right there kind of made me think of.
I also underlined that passage, and it reminded me of a verse that it's been recurring lately. I don't know, Romans, where it says, like, no one can know the heart of another except for that own person. And so God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could know his heart.
Mm. Yeah, I don't remember what that is, but yeah.
So that reminded me of that too.
Interesting. Okay, how does this help me love others more? Well, there's not a lot in here that really is specifically about love of others.
Yep. That's why I picked the easy one.
Yeah, no, but there is this overall thing in Galatians that I think is worth talking about. And it's just this idea of protecting each other from falsehood. Sometimes people will share with you their zany, baseless, I'm just going to say the word that I'm thinking, stupid beliefs about God. And ignorant maybe is a better word, but some of them are just stupid. Like, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not saying that person's stupid, but lots of people have stupid thoughts about God. I'm not saying I'm exempt from that. Maybe I have stupid thoughts about God. They're totally possible. People will share those things with you, and it is really easy to go, oh, wow, yeah, that's interesting. Huh, what an interesting idea, you know, or to brush it off or whatever. I think sometimes, and I'm not talking about false teachers, I'm talking about people who have been misled or just are mistaken. I don't think it's everyone's job to face down false teachers. I think for the most part, if you're faced with a false teacher, leave. Let God handle that. You leave. Just get away. Because they have all these snares and traps and the devil himself is working with them. Just get away. But for just a person, you know, say you bump into them in public or, you know, they're an old friend and they finally are opening up to you about what they believe. If they have these zany beliefs, like what the Galatians were being faced with, it is okay for you to say, you know, hey, can we explore that? Like, can we talk about that a little bit? Like, a great one, when people are like, well, you know, I don't think that there's necessarily like a right and wrong for everybody, you know, but like, you know, I have my truth, you have your truth, like that whole kind of thing. It's okay to gently probe that. You know, I had a person tell me once that they think feelings are more important than facts. And I said, well, I think both are important, but facts are more important. And they said, well, feelings are definitely more important. And of course, that's a statement of fact, right? So that, you know, I said, well, why do you think that? I said, can you use facts to support that? And they said, well, I just feel. And I'm like, nope. Can you use facts to support that? And it was a really good, healthy conversation. And it didn't change their heart, but it did get the wheels turning. And you never know what's going to happen with that. I don't have a ton of hope, but I guess it's just a loving thing that we can do for each other to love each other better is to be willing to talk about truth. You know, and not shy away from it, not brush people off, not think anyone's too far gone. How easy would it have been for Paul to not write this letter and just be like, well, guess the Galatians folded pretty quick, you know, and just move on, right? Give up on them. But he loves them. And I think we can learn from that.
Yeah. And I've noticed recently, I think in Romans, this is where I am right now, God makes it in other places too. God makes it abundantly clear that we are just seed planters. Like we can't make fruit grow.
Right.
We can't make harvest happen.
Yep.
Like all we have to do is seed and sometimes water. Sometimes.
Yep.
Not even all the time.
Yeah. And sometimes we water but don't seed.
Sure.
Right. So someone else is seeding and we're watering.
Yeah. So like, but nobody is responsible for the growth.
Yep. You're right.
And so that's really been sticking out to me lately, which I think has to do with what you're saying. Like those questions, like probing questions, like don't expect to win anything. You can't make that person grow. You can't soften that person's heart.
You're right.
But just planting a seed, or if they're a believer and they're just kind of wrestling with something, just watering it or whatever. Because you just walking in knowing that you aren't going to do the growing. You're physically not capable of it. It takes a lot of pressure off. It probably takes down some of your defensiveness maybe. Because like I know when I've been approached with those conversations, just an instinct is to get like defensive. Like, whoa. And I get all puffy chest.
Oh, whoa. You grow Civil War general facial hair too.
Mustache twisting. Yeah. And it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I think there's a ton of wisdom in what you're saying there. And I think it's understated that, we don't cause the growth, right? We're not in charge of that. I think that's smart. That's really smart. And that is not advice that I've ever given anyone. And now I'm going to. So good work, because I love that.
Oh, Romans, I think.
Yeah, definitely Romans. Figure out what I'm reading. Yeah.
I can memorize the words, just not the references.
That's okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, awesome.
I want to say one other thing.
Okay, please do.
It was just funny.
It's about your rash?
No, it's about The way, because I'm in Romans, and just the way that Paul writes. And so I was just thinking of like the way that he would have written Deuteronomy. Like, is the message so far away from your hand that it's not on your lips and your heart?
Of
Of
course
course not.
not.
I don't know. I was smirking a little
I
during
know that some awesome conversations between Paul and Moses have to have gone down.
that. Yeah.
Because let me just put it this way. Paul never said he was the most humble man on earth. Just saying.
I dare not boast.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, guys? We're super proud of you. Hannah's got to go apply cream.
To you, for
Yeah,
your itch.
because I got the itch. That was good. That was a quick comeback, Hannah. You're tough to keep up with, lady.
Years of practice, honey.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, super proud of you guys. Happy Saturday. Tomorrow we have a guest. Do you know who it is? Oh, you do know who it is. Never mind. I was gonna have you guess who, but you do know.
We can still play.
Okay.
Take out our board.
Okay.
Okay, is it a girl?
Yes.
Does she wear scarves a lot?
Compared to what?
Me.
Yes.
Do her and I have anything insanely in common?
You're both white.
Anything else crazy in
That's all I
common?
can think of.
Occupationally in common?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it Jean?
Yes.
Wow, I got one.
Wow. Yeah, you do have a lot in common.
We're both
Worship
worship
directors? Yeah.
directors.
I know.
Fun. Yeah.
That's my sound of putting down the tiles on a guess who board.
I miss Guess Who.
Well, get excited. Jean's going to be here tomorrow, and Jean's going to be here on Monday. And then Allison will be back Tuesday, and then Chip will be back Wednesday. So
Keep up.
we almost got some chips to fur coming. Good. All right. Hey, super proud of you guys. Thank you so much for being patient with all my coughing and my fever and my itch. And just stick with it, guys. The Bible is alive and powerful. It is awesome. There are amazing lines to be connected throughout the Old and New Testament, and we're just getting started. It's only March.
Be consistent with your reading, not intermittent.
Yeah, not intermittent. Don't be intermittently. Don't get the itch. Don't get the
That what we'll
itch.
call it?
Yeah.
When you don't read your
Don't
Bible,
get
it's
the
the
itch,
itch.
Deanne. Don't get the itch.
Oh my
I just know she'll be super mad that I said that. Deanne's got the itch.